Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. Our guest is Kevin Freeman, a man who has been for many years a very thoughtful and successful financial analyst and advisor. These days, he is the founder and driving force behind a terrific blog, globaleconomicwarfare.com. I'm very pleased to have him as a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy and take particular pride in his success with two very important books on the subjects we're discussing. Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again, and Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack. Kevin, talking about the European Union, one of the things that has, as you indicated, been such a problem for not just the Brits, I believe, but for other nations of that union as well, is the sort of inevitable nature of supranational entities, that they get further and further away from the people that they're supposed to be governing and therefore become less and less accountable, especially when you're essentially turning the whole thing over to unelected bureaucrats, or in this case, as they've been called, Eurocrats. One of the concerns we've been hearing a lot about this so-called Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP, in the course of the campaign. It seems to be a point of bipartisan agreement now among the various candidates. But my biggest concern about it, not knowing a fraction about this as you do on the economics and financial side, but my biggest concern about it is that it really would be, by its nature, a tremendous shot in the arm behind putting the United States under similar sorts of supranational arrangements. I wonder what your thoughts are about the TPP and whether that concern is exaggerated or sound.
I think this concern is absolutely sound. The more we subject ourselves to, as you call them, unelected bureaucrats, you create the incidents where you have less transparency. Less transparency means that people can take advantage, and that happens on a regular basis. The money, that's where crony capitalism is at its absolute worst, where you have these large multinational institutions that have sway and control over individuals' lives in their own communities. And we've seen that repeatedly throughout history, and that TPP could be among the very worst examples of that. We, under the guise of free trade, we will be suffering, and we won't have any way to vote out the people causing the suffering.
And the irony of this is that the people that we are supposed to be holding accountable, representing us in the United States Congress, have seemed disposed, at least until this campaign put a bit of a monkey wrench in the works, to cede much of their power, certainly over economic issues at the very least, if not a lot of other regulatory aspects of our lives, to these unelected folks. It's really quite extraordinary and worrying. So if there's nothing else that good that comes about this campaign, I guess it's that it's at least created something of a stay of execution on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And Kevin, one of the other facets of this that I'm bemused by is the claim by some, notably the Obama administration and some of its senior officials, that a prime selling point of this accord is that it actually will exclude China. In fact, I believe it was the Secretary of Defense, Ash Carter, who claimed that this was worth a carrier battle group to the United States from a security point of view. And yet others say, nonsense, China will be brought in probably in short order. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, of course they'll be brought in, just like they were in the United Nations and everywhere else. You know, once the organization is set up, we no longer have influence. Our influence, if you love the United Nations, you'll love the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And you know, it's unaccountable to the American people. We end up funding it. It comes at our expense. We end up losing on, you know, like every trade deal. That's one thing Donald Trump says that's absolutely right. We get regularly beat in every one of these negotiations. And so, of course, China will use their influence. They have influence with every nation that will be a part of it. Initially, there are reasons for the nations that are a part of it to resent China and fear China and act as if China won't be involved. It'll be a very short period before China uses their pressure and influence to worm their way into it.
And would that make this deal that much worse if, in fact, they're inside the tent?
Once they're in the tent, they'll control it. Because you know, we live as Americans under a certain set of rules, and we assume that everyone else does as well, and that's just simply not the case. The rules for influence, you know, the Chinese will hack anything that they need to. They will look at every document. They will use influence like they hacked the Office of Personnel Management. They'll know every person of influence involved in the Trans-Pacific Partnership. They'll know all of their relatives and their secrets and everything else, and they'll blackmail if they have to do whatever necessary to achieve their objective.
Kevin, I want to come back to the whole cyber warfare issue in a moment, but just staying with this topic, let me ask you about something we've discussed in the past in your appearances here at Secure Freedom Radio. And again, our guest is Kevin Freeman. Kevin, his writings can be found at globaleconomicwarfare.com. The sort of Chinese pursuit in a very systematic way, I mean, really out of the pages of unrestricted warfare in a sense, of a post-American economic order, financial institutions and other arrangements that would enable them essentially to displace not just our currency, as we were talking about a moment ago, but really our leading role in international economic affairs. How far advanced is that project, and what are the implications of it should they succeed?
Well, the Chinese are running a race. Their economy is collapsing under the weight of their own internal cronyism, despite massive opportunity with a very large population that needs to move to the middle class. How far along are they? They're extraordinarily far along. They have influence in Washington. They've hacked most of our major systems. They have stolen massive amounts of intellectual property measured in the trillions of dollars. They have put the largest public offering on our stock exchange. They have bought influence with our trading partners. They have created alternatives to the U.S. dollar. They've created alternatives to the World Bank, to the International Monetary Fund, to the SWIFT transaction system. They really have a ready-to-go alternative monetary system that the lights get turned off on the dollar and get turned on some supranational currency or on the renminbi itself.
And the implications of doing that would be to essentially take us out, or is it a more modest goal than that?
Well, I don't know that they want to entirely eliminate us, but displace us, I think, is a fair term. I mean, just imagine that, I'll use an analogy that in a marriage relationship, there's someone who's very wealthy, and they meet someone that looks attractive and interesting. They marry them, and the next thing they know, they find their bank accounts are plundered, and their name and reputation and businesses are all taken, and so forth. They don't want to kill the person; they just want to displace them. And I think that's what China has been doing since 1999, finding a way to displace America. They believe it is their right to sit atop the world, that China should dominate the world, and they have a long-term plan that they've been executing with precision to achieve that objective.
This is the subject, of course, of a new book that the Center for Security Policy is very proud to present, entitled Warning Order, China Prepares for Conflict and Why We Must Do the Same. I'm very pleased that one of the contributing authors is Kevin Freeman, our guest, in a chapter entitled China, Unrestricted Warfare, and the Challenge to America. And I think you've captured very well the Chinese concept. I guess it goes back to Sun Tzu and his admonition that it is better to win a war without having to fight it. And that seems to be, Kevin, the thrust of what they're doing with their economic warfare strategy, as well as their building up the military forces with which to checkmate ours and thereby enable us to lose without actually being physically defeated. Kevin, we're going to turn to another subject of great interest to you, as we discussed a moment ago, the cyber warfare threat and how that fits into this larger economic warfare environment we find ourselves in. That and much more with Kevin Freeman, straight ahead.
Go Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.